We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Caregiver Dave Celebrity segment. Excited to welcome the first Caregiver Dave and Sandy. Dave, how are you? I know you're doing
Doing
well, man.
great.
Yeah,
Doing
you
great.
just
Doing
keep,
great.
it's, and finally, the weather's bad, good in LA again, right?
Finally, finally.
All right. My guest today is Nick Buick, and he's a house music producer, singer, and songwriter, and DJ. Nick, how are you, man? Thanks for stopping by.
I'm great. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, let's just kind of jump into this, Nick. Did DJing first, house music, singer, what was first?
It was kind of a progression. When I was about 11 years old, back in Ohio, they test your voice and they put you in either band or choir. And they put me in choir and I sang for a long time. I actually studied classical opera, believe it or not.
Really?
And then I left that and, you know, got into the real world. Came back to it shortly thereafter, you know, as I got older, wanting to express myself, went into DJing, producing music, and then singing again, but singing and writing in a pop style, which was kind of, you know, hard to learn at first. But I guess the real progression was, weirdly enough, opera singer, DJ, producer, songwriter, singer. So kind of like a circle, but a very messed up version of the circle at the end. So
very, very good.
Wow. Did your parents give you a lot of support in those younger years?
They did what they could. They didn't understand, I don't think, that this could be a career or anything. I'm actually from, I think, close to you guys. I'm from near Youngstown, Ohio, Warren, Ohio. I think you guys are doing this from Pittsburgh, correct? Or is that incorrect?
I'm from LA. He's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but now I'm in Dallas. But no, this is nationally syndicated.
Got it. Stand corrected. Okay.
Okay, so no worries. Let's go, Nick, specifically enough. You know, then all these things happen in church. So you kind of took the choir and all these things in music and kept it and tried to put it into more of a different spin, your music, right? Kind of explain.
Well, yeah. I was encouraged to not go that direction. You know, so I listened to other people and I prepped my life to do something else. And then it just so happens that it later surfaced and reared its head again in a different way. So I had to express myself musically somehow. I really repressed it for a long time. I just thought, oh, I can't go. I can't study opera. I actually got into music school when I was younger. You know, I can't possibly do that. I have to go to law school. I have to prep my brain for making money. And I ended up going to law school for like a week. Actually less than that, maybe like a day or two. And then I was like, I just can't do this. So, you know, kind of a, you know, sign to parents out there. If your kid wants to do something, just let them do it. Or I don't think my parents meant to dissuade me, really. It was more subconscious, but eventually reared its head a different way, which I'm very thankful for, because I'm glad I'm a pop singer. I'm glad I'm a you know, pop producer. I'm glad I'm not an opera singer, that's for sure. Yeah, that's really the story.
Do you have the opera voice? I mean, could you have been successful,
you know, it's
as
funny,
an opera singer?
It's funny, a friend of mine who actually is a teacher at USC,
My alma mater.
Oh yeah, nice. He studied classical music, and he wanted me to perform an old piece I'd learned by Schumann, and I tried it, and I pretty much almost had it. So he was pretty impressed. This was literally 3 days ago.
So, really? So let's Nick, tell us more about the music. Like, define house music for me. I'm interested in that.
House music is very basic. It's what's called four on the floor. So it's like, you know, it's in 4/4 time. The basis of it is really the four beats per measure. And it's really centered on the beats. And it takes samples of vocals and voices and doesn't really focus. It does have song structure, but doesn't focus on the full songwriting formula, whereas pop does. Pop has a sort of A, B, A, B, C, and then back to A formula. House music, it does have that structure somewhat, but it's slightly different. It's more simple. And it was a way for me to kind of, in a way, simply get into music again, not having too much pressure. Like, oh, I'll just take a vocal, somebody else's vocal, and just kind of manipulate it and put a beat to it. And then I'll DJ and I'll play around with it. And then later, I wanted to know more. I wanted to know songwriting. And so I learned songwriting at Icon Collective, which is a school in Burbank. And then I thought, well, why don't I just try singing again? I was like, no, I can't sing. In 2020 or so, my teacher said, you know, you should try singing on your own tracks. And then the pop voice will come. So I did. And I learned songwriting and I learned how to sing in a pop style. And then I said, well, I'm not going to produce other people's voices. I'm not going to do remixes of, you know, like Rihanna or somebody anymore. I'm just going to do my own music. And then I just said, I'm going to go for it. So here I am.
Wow.
So long story short, house music is really simple. And it was a way for me to play, to get to where I am now, and to come full circle in a very different way from where I was when I was younger.
You know, there's a lifelong debate on entrepreneurs. Are they born or are they raised? Do you consider yourself an entrepreneur, or are you more artistic? Was it hard to figure out how to make money with what you're doing, or was it very easy?
You know, if you have the mindset of coming and doing this as a 9-to-5, putting the time in sort of unorthodox ways, and then thinking of it as almost like a pitch, like a salesperson, like, you know, 90% of the people are going to say no, or 99%, but one person might give you a booking, one person might give you a gig. If you come to it with some sort of business experience as a maybe telemarketer would, I think that could be very beneficial.
So sales.
Yeah. Yeah. You market yourself, you sell yourself. And that was hard to learn for a long time. It really takes both. You have to be creative. And for a long time I was creative. And then I made a song like, okay, what now? And I just made songs and let them sit there. But then I realized, okay, it's time for me to get these out here. I've got a product. I got to market this product. And it's like a different person. It's like Nick Buick is the creator. And this other person is his booking agent, his, you know, PR person, everything else. It's like two different people. So
definitely. So what's the latest news on you, Nick, for performing and all that? Where can people learn
more? I'm trying to secure, to be honest, I haven't fully bounced back from COVID. You know, I was performing a lot before then. I'm trying to secure some gigs on the Sunset Strip on some venues. I'm not going to say them because they're not 100%, you know, booked yet, but you know, performing live is what I absolutely love to do. It's number one. And I'm working actually right now on some, tracks, some backing tracks, putting my show together and hiring some dancers and kind of putting the theme together. So.
Excellent.
You said you went to school and learned how to write music. I always thought it was just a natural gift that it just flows out of you. How does someone teach you how to write music?
They don't. You're absolutely right. They taught me how to court the muse, let's say. So they taught me how to, they basically, you know, when you, like, let's say a workout, you can't teach someone to lift something, you know, like to bench press, but you can give them technique. You can show them the right way to do it and then tell them, you know, to start light and then go to higher weights and that sort of thing. So there were a lot of people that were taught the same things that I were taught that are not songwriters right now. Mm. But it opened up a sort of like it cracked open a sort of window. I had always thought of melodies and things like that. I didn't know what to do with them. I didn't know anything about structure. I didn't know the concept of space. I didn't know your pre-chorus had to give space. It's called space. It has to be a little more simple. I know, you know, a lot of the tricks, and I, you know, they tend to work. So
did you have a lot of discouragement in the beginning? I mean, did it come quickly or was it a struggle?
No, it came easily.
thus the gift.
Yeah, it came easily. Writing lyrics came easily, writing melodies came easily, but I didn't know anything about song structure. Melodies can come to you within a moment. They can come to you in your sleep. Even they can come to you in the shower. There's really no telling how they are out. They get out there. It's a complete mystery. Who knows where they come from? And then when you try to write a melody, like when you really try to make it happen, you cannot do it. It is really hard sometimes, not always.
Comes from God.
Maybe, you know, potentially.
All right. So Dave has a caregiving question. Go ahead, Dave.
So I'm a caregiver, married for 25 years at the time, and my wife has this headache, turns into a stroke, loses her speech, becomes paralyzed on one side. We go through the grief process. We almost break up because she's so angry and bitter. And I go to a caregiver support group. I'm taught to put my mask on first, take care of me first. I did. She started coming around. Our love was rekindled. I became Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, to help other caregivers go through or not go through what I went through. And now I speak all over the country, all over the world. And I've been on 50 plus TV stations just doing my thing. Now I host caregiver wellness retreats in Acapulco to help caregivers stay alive, since 30% of them die before their loved ones do just from the stress.
Like, oh, wow.
So I've got a website, caregiverdave.com. Question to you, Nick, is I know you're kind of young, but has caregiving touched your life with your family, relatives, friends?
My best friend, that's really funny that you should say that, because I have this book here. I don't know if you're even familiar with this. If you like this guy. Dr. Phil's
Bill McGraw,
real life.
Of course.
I read a lot. I love to read. I was an English major when I was younger. So he talks about the seven worst days of your life. And you have to do a lot of self-work to be an artist. You have to read and encourage yourself and that sort of thing. So I do. But that's funny. When somebody's having a hard time, it talks about in the book that you a lot of times the best you can do is to just be there and listen and check in with them often. And, you know, try not to give ridiculous advice. Yeah. Like, well, things will get better. Oh, well, you know, you'll find another job. Oh, well, whatever the case may be. So I luckily have not had to deal with my parents or anyone like that. However, my really good friend has stage 4 cancer. And he's only 27.
Oh my god.
Yeah, roommate actually. We used to live together, and then he was really by himself. You know, he was afraid to tell people. And so I ended up being the doctor's main point of contact, because we were so close. And the doctor called me after his operation, said, "Hey, he's at stage 4, his chances of living are about a year." I was in complete shock. I went to visit him, and he had his stomach was all cut up from his pelvis all the way up almost to his sternum. And there was nothing I could do, I realized, but to just be there and cheer him up. I don't care for him. He does have a mother. He lives in Orange County now with his mom. But I check in on him often, and I try to cheer him up. And the craziest thing that I learned about that experience is that when we talk, he would like to talk about anything but that. Yeah. He will bring up old jokes, old inside jokes, like anything. He will talk about it, but it's not his focus. You know, he's not looking for advice. He's not looking for me to talk about that topic. He's looking for me to make him feel like, you know, like we used to hang when we would hang out before cancer. Sure. So I, you know what, I, for a long time, I the answer is I didn't know what to say. Yeah. And I realized that just being there was a lot for people.
Well, for many, you know, as bad as the condition he's in, his mother could be in worse condition, because like I said, you know, it's tough being a caregiver. It's tough caring for them. And I'd love to see her and people like her, you know, join me in Acapulco one day to help them unwind, rejuvenate, and just save their lives, you know?
She doesn't speak English, but... And the idea of going somewhere like that would probably be foreign to her. She's from Afghanistan. However,
oh wow,
it's yeah. So she, I'm sure, culturally internalizes her pain. She's Muslim, and they're from a Muslim family. So, however, that's a great idea, and I wish that she would.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. Nick. Where can you find info on you? Where can we go to check out stuff, your music, and everything?
You can go to Nick Buick, BEWICK, on Spotify, on iTunes, and then at Nick_Buick, BWICK on Instagram, and also pretty much TikTok or anywhere else, same handle.
All right. Appreciate it, Nick.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Thanks
for having me. All right, take care. See ya. Okay. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.